There is our school bell, and so we're coming now back to the Warren County Radio Bible School. And we're studying in the section of the Bible that is called the Prophets. And we're coming to the end of a Sunday school lesson called Israel in the Midst of the Nations. And in studying this lesson, we've been talking about how God intended Israel to be a model nation among the nations, that all the nations might see the glory of God through Israel. And so often, they failed to measure up to what God wanted them to do. The text we're going to be commenting on in just a moment is Ezekiel chapter 5 and verse 5. Thus saith the Lord Jehovah, this is Jerusalem. I have set her in the midst of the nations, and countries are round about her. Now we'll get to that in just a moment. While you're turning in your Bibles, you might want to turn and look up that text. You may also want to turn to the section of the prophets, because we're going to continue to look at some teachings of the prophets, both from Isaiah and Jonah and Micah and Zephaniah. And I'll explain that as we get further into the program. But first, let me remind you that the Warren County Radio Bible School is brought to you by the Church of Christ at Rock Cliff. Our meeting house is located between McMinnville and Biola at the foot of Ben Lomond, just across from Mount Zion Road. We have Sunday Bible study at 9 a.m., followed by worship at 10 a.m., Sunday evening worship at 6 p.m., and Wednesday evening Bible study at 7 p.m., and all are welcome to all of our assemblies. I am Bill Boyd, the preacher at Rock Cliff, and the superintendent of this radio Bible school. And we've come to the end of a Sunday school lesson that E.A. Elam wrote for October the 21st, 1923, entitled Israel in the Midst of the Nations. That comes from Ezekiel 5:5. Thus saith the Lord Jehovah, this is Jerusalem. I have set her in the midst of the nations, and countries are round about her. Here is what Elam has to say on that passage. God had set Jerusalem in the midst of the nations and countries round about her, and when it should have been a light and blessing to all, it became more wicked and rebellious than the nations around it. And therefore God was against it, and determined to execute judgment against it before the nations. How was Jerusalem more wicked than the nations? Well, much had been given to Jerusalem, and to much is giving, much is required, and Jerusalem had not given God back much. These verses predict the most fearful punishment and destruction. Jerusalem stands for the people of Jerusalem. Now today, the church, the true Israel of God, should be a city on a hill whose light cannot be hid, the light of the world and the salt of the earth. But whenever it fails, it becomes a curse, and it suffers the condemnation of God. We'll close this part with Matthew chapter 5 and verse 14. That you are the light of the world. A city that is set upon a hill cannot be hid. But now I turn the page in my little Sunday school book, and I've come to a Sunday school lesson for October the 28th, 1923. And the title of this lesson is Some Missionary Teachings of the Prophets. And we're going to remain studying in the prophets about God's plan to bring that blessing He promised to Abraham, that through him all the nations of the earth would be blessed. We'll continue studying that as we study from the prophets. And there are four texts for this Sunday school lesson. The first one comes from Isaiah chapter 60, verses 1 through 3. Arise, shine, for thy light is come, and the glory of Jehovah is risen upon thee. For behold, darkness shall cover the earth, and gross darkness the peoples. But Jehovah will arise upon thee, and his glory shall be seen upon thee, and nations shall come to thy light, and kings to the brightness of thy rising. The next text comes from the book of Jonah, chapter 4, verses 10 and 11. And Jehovah said, Thou hast had regard for the gourd which thou hast not labored, neither madest it to grow, which came up in a night and perished in a night. And should not I have regard for Nineveh, that great city wherein are more than 60,000 persons that cannot discern between their right hand and their left hand, and also much cattle? Our next passage comes from the book of Micah. Micah chapter 4, verses 1 through 3. But in the latter days it shall come to pass that the mountain of Jehovah's house shall be established on the top of the mountains, and it shall be exalted above the hills, and people shall flow into it, and many nations shall go and say, Come ye, let us go up to the mountain of Jehovah, and to the house of the God of Jacob, and he will teach us of his ways, and we'll walk in his paths. For out of Zion shall go forth the law, and the word of Jehovah from Jerusalem. And he will judge between many peoples, and will decide concerning strong nations afar off. And they shall beat their swords into plowshares, and their spears into pruning hooks. Nation shall not lift up sword against nation, neither shall they learn war any more. And then the fourth prophecy we're going to look at is from the book of Zephaniah, chapter 3, and verse 9. For then will I turn to the peoples a pure language, that they may all call upon the name of Jehovah to serve him with one consent. The golden text for this Sunday school lesson is Isaiah chapter 60 and verse 3. Nations shall come to thy light, and kings to the brightness of thy rising. And the devotional reading is found in the book of Isaiah, chapter 42, verses 1 through 9. Behold, my servant, whom I uphold, my chosen, in whom my soul delighteth. I have put my spirit upon him. He will bring forth justice to the Gentiles. He will not cry, nor lift up his voice, nor cause it to be heard in the street. A bruised reed will he not break, and dimly burning wick will he not quench. He will bring forth justice in truth. He will not fail, nor be discouraged, until he hath set justice in the earth, and the isle shall wait for his law. Thus saith God Jehovah, he that created the heavens and stretcheth them forth, he that spread abroad the earth and that which cometh out of it, he that giveth breath to the people upon it, and the spirit to them that walk therein, I, Jehovah, have called thee in righteousness, and will hold thy hand, and will keep thee, and give thee for a covenant of the people, for a light of the Gentiles, to open the blind eyes, to bring out the prisoners from the dungeon, and to them that sit in darkness out of the prison house. I am Jehovah, that is my name, and my glory will I not give to another, neither my praise unto graven images. Behold, the former things are come to pass, and new things do I declare. Before they spring forth, I tell you of them. That is Isaiah chapter 42, verses 1 through 9. There's an interesting comment early in this Sunday school lesson from Adam Clark. We're talking about the passage that we read in Isaiah 60. And Adam Clark tells us that Isaiah foretells of the salvation of the Gentiles through Christ, and does this in the most exalted and poetic language. He says, this is one of the most glorious chapters in the whole of the Old Testament. The splendor, glory, and excellency of the Church of Christ are here pointed out in a language which the Spirit of God alone is capable of using. But when shall this state of blessedness take place? Lord, thou, only knowest. Well, we're going to see that these things are fulfilled in Christ, and they are fulfilled in the Church of Christ. I think it is interesting how Adam Clark, in his comment, talked about the splendor, glory, and excellency of the Church of Christ. Now, when Adam Clark is writing that, he's not talking about any denomination. He's using those words, the Church of Christ, the way that Paul used them in Romans chapter 16:16. When he says, the churches of Christ salute you. Adam Clark is a well-known commentator. He was a Methodist. And for many years, just about every preacher would have somewhere on their shelves the commentaries of Adam Clark. I know he's been displaced by many of the new commentaries today, but I'm one that still like to read the old commentaries. And I myself have Adam Clark's commentaries on my shelf. So when Adam Clark was writing this, he's not talking about any denomination when he says the Church of Christ. And I want you to understand this. When I tell you that this program is brought to you by the Church of Christ at Rock Cliff, I'm not talking about any denomination either. If we can conceive of the Church of Christ outside of a denominational context, then we'll begin to get a picture of what God really intends His church to be. And that's what we strive to be out at Rock Cliff. And when you see the Church of Christ over many of the little buildings scattered around this county, there's over 40 of these buildings and 40 of these places where those who are members of the Church of Christ gather together to worship. But they're not gathering together as a denomination. They have been baptized into Christ, and God has added them to His church. And those who have been added to His church come together in a local assembly to worship Him according to the New Testament pattern. You see, that's the way they did it in the New Testament. That's the way we do it today. And in the New Testament, it was not a Church of Christ denomination. And if we do the things that they did and teach the things that they teach, then we will not be a Church of Christ denomination either. We'll just be the Church of Christ, like Adam Clark spoke of it, and also like the Apostle Paul spoke of it in the book of Romans. Now, in studying this lesson, we're going to be looking at these four prophets, and we've already studied some things about Isaiah. So let me go on into Isaiah's prophecy. In Isaiah chapter 59 and verse 20, Isaiah foretells of a Redeemer who would come forth out of Zion. Let me read that to you from Isaiah 59 and verse 20. And a Redeemer will come to Zion, and unto them that turn from transgression in Jacob, saith Jehovah. Well, Paul applies this to Christ. In Romans chapter 11 and verse 26, Paul writes in the New Testament, so all Israel shall be saved, even as it is written, there shall come out of Zion the Deliverer. He shall turn away ungodliness from Jacob. This verse tells us of the light and the glory of Jehovah. Christ is this light to come that we read about in Isaiah chapter 60, where it says, arise and shine, for thy light is come, and the glory of Jehovah is risen upon thee. For behold, darkness shall cover the earth, and gross darkness the peoples, but Jehovah will arise upon thee, and His glory shall be seen in thee, and all nations shall come to thy light, and kings to the brightness of thy rising. This is done, of course, by accepting and walking in the light, as Paul says, awake, thou that sleepeth, and arise from the dead, and Christ shall shine upon thee. And he quotes Jehovah as saying this in Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 14. Christ is the one who would shine upon those who sit in darkness and in the shadow of death. Luke 1, 78 and 79 say, because of the tender mercy of our God, whereby the day spring from on high shall visit us, to shine upon them that sit in darkness and the shadow of death, to guide our feet into the way of peace.